This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So summer is officially here, and turtle season is in full swing. And I was walking on the beach Friday morning, and I saw this sign on the beach. And I saw many more, as most of us do when we walk along the beach this time of year, right? So this was a brand new one Friday morning, right? Brand new loggerhead turtle nest. And then I see this little beachmobile coming down the beach. And lo and behold, it was somebody that I knew driving it way back from high school, Joan Powler. She's one of the turtle ladies. And she is commissioned, that's what they call her, she's commissioned by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to find and to count and to mark the turtle nests. And she loves her job, and we got to talking. And she said that these turtles have predators from the moment the eggs are laid. And while they're incubating, the predators include, listen to this list, raccoons, foxes, crabs, snakes, and ants. Even ants can burrow down and get into the eggshells, and that's just some of them. And human beings are known to dig them up and sell them on the black market. She said it takes approximately 50 days for them to hatch out, and then these little hatchlings, once they hatch out and they begin to make their long trek back down to the ocean, now you add to those predators birds, all kinds of birds that would just love to swoop down and have them for breakfast or a midnight snack. For these eggs that were laid on Friday, we can expect to see them coming out at around August 9th. And there's a million of them right around this date or before. So August would be a wonderful time to go down, she said, like in the early mornings, and you'll see them going down into the beach just before dawn usually. And sometimes, she said, in the middle of the night. Once hatched, it's a dangerous journey always. And once they're in the water, then they swim miles and miles and miles before they stop and they find this sargassum seaweed so that they can hide out in there and they can eat. And unfortunately, then they get into all these man-made difficulties again. And sometimes they see these little pellets of plastic and they eat them and they die. Or get caught in fishing line or fishing nets. And even as adult turtles, the biggest cause of death is collision with boats. It's a perilous journey. 67,000 nests are built in Florida each year with approximately, listen to this, 110 eggs per nest. It seems like a lot of eggs, but she said, and then I double-checked it and researched it, 1 in 1,000 make it. 1 in 1,000 make it. That's why they're endangered. The new little hatchlings are just under 2 inches long, and they only weigh like 0.7 of an ounce. I tell you all this because as I was walking Friday morning, I had been writing and percolating about today's gospel, and it's a tough gospel, right? I mean, it's a major gospel for the beginning of summer when it's supposed to be light and happy and playful. But I was thinking about it while I was looking at those nests and seeing the similarity of how the disciples were sent out, and they were being sent out into perilous territory too. Perilous territory without protection. This gospel, however, can be easily confused. And it can be used, and it has been used, in proof texting, as they call it, to support slavery, to support violence, to support interfamily squabbles, to support a misdirected pastor telling a woman to stay in an abusive relationship even though she's being beaten and beaten and beaten because she's got to take up her cross. It can be very misunderstood if we don't understand the context in which it was written. And in order to do that, we have to go back to the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And as many of you know, we read in there about the beginning of Jesus' ministry and then the Sermon on the Mount. And then he teaches us how to pray to God with this intimacy that was unknown before this. He said it was okay to call God Abba, which is daddy, and to be able to find that intimacy. And then he starts healing people and raising the dead and casting out demons. And the authorities, the scribes and the Pharisees, were out to get him. They were out to get him. And they even, in the gospel, you notice, call him Beelzebul, which is another name for the devil. And they're saying, if he casts out demons, then he must also be a demon. He must also be a demon. So Jesus, at this point, right before today's gospel, there's a line that says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So he calls together his troops. He gathers the 12 disciples and he says, listen up. And he begins this long conversation with them that's called the missionary discourse. And he talks to them about what is important to do and how to do it. And he says, don't take anything with you. Pack light in your journey. Pack light. And you'll be fed by other people, and you'll be welcomed in homes. And if you're not welcome, then shake the dust and go on your way. But you'll know as you go what to do. And I want you to do what I did. Can you imagine being told that? They were human beings like you and like me. And if we were told that I want you to go out now and heal in the name of Jesus Christ, heal and raise the dead and cast out demons, it was pretty amazing, and it was perilous. When they went out, he had also told them to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. He tells them, and he tells us, that in this life, if you're going to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ, that it can be really perilous, but to do it anyway. And he says, you know, I'm not promising you that it's going to be a piece of cake here. In fact, it's the contrary. It's going to be the opposite sometimes. So much so that you may have to go up against the people that you love the most and stand up. He's not telling them to split up families. He was a Middle Eastern, and they had exaggerated ways of talking, hyperbole. And he said to them, look, you've got to know that even when you stand up, you may have some discord in your families, but stand up. Stand up for what's right. Stand up. Trust me. Die to your old self now and find your life. And find your real life. Die out to everything that is not of God. So a nice way to start the summer, huh? It's woo! Like heavy stuff that he's telling us. Heavy stuff. Paul reiterated this in a letter that he wrote to the Christians in Rome. And he said, die to your old self now that you are in Christ Jesus. Die to your old self and you'll be anew in me. And you don't have to do this alone. You're not doing it of your own. You're doing it because I'm going to be with you. Just trust me and surrender that. What was being asked of them and what's being asked of us is nothing short of revolutionary. And I'm frequently reminded, I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, it's not that Christianity doesn't work, it's that we're not really trying it. We might say we are, but we really aren't. Gay Sedaris, who a lot of you know, sent out a video last week to several of us, and I think it's worth showing this young Asian man. Let's watch.
าจะได้อะไรถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวันเขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นเพราะสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
ไทยประกันชีวิตเชื่อในความดี
What is it that we desire most? It's a good question. Whatever you come here with today on your heart, if you are struggling with financial worries, if you're struggling with health issues or worried about loved ones, God is with you and guiding you and holding you up and asking you that even in our difficult times to stand up and to trust.And to trust. At its ordination, Peter Byrne wrote this, and it was printed on the card for you on the back. We are simply asked to make gentle our bruised world, to tame its savageness, to be compassionate of all, including oneself. Then with the time left over, to repeat the ancient tale and go the way of God's foolish ones, God's foolish ones, count me in. And in closing, I offer you the familiar writing by Mother and Teresa. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway.If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people may forget tomorrow.Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It never was only between you and them anyway. Amen.